Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and check out all the other things that are there. The blog, we've got our blogs. Jim's blog is right there on the homepage, or you can go to jimsblog.biz, and you can check it out on the homepage, or you can subscribe, and we'll send it to you, just like the newsletter. And all that's free, thanks to our corporate partners. Josh Costell is our good friend and longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is the president of Applying Knowledge Systems. It's a consulting and training firm helping people to become better at selling. He's the author of The Science of Sales Success, and he's our good friend. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back. Happy holidays to you and the listeners out there.
And to you as well. And I appreciate you being here. It's always a pleasure to have you back. You know, Josh, before you got here, I was telling the audience about your joining us today. And I just reminded them of something I've been saying many, many times on this show, and that a mentor told me a long time ago. I started saying many years ago, Josh, but actually it'd be more appropriate to say many decades ago for me, and that is that nothing happens until somebody makes a sale. And I know you agree with me on that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always liked that one bumper sticker that said, it's on the back of trucks, it says, if a truck delivers it, a salesperson sold it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I know that that's much to the chagrin of the support people who work for companies, because the salespeople seem to get all the extra energy and all the motivational stuff. And sometimes salespeople seem like the pampered ones of the organizations. But when I was a salesperson, I felt like we deserved that. Didn't you, Josh?
Well, I did. But also never lost sight of the fact that these days, with all you have to do on a sale, it takes such a team approach from, you know, people back at the home office, if you have one, or if you're in a small business with your assistant secretary slash, bookkeeper and shipper. You know, it just takes such a team effort these days to get a sale going. And with sales, I think that the only thing I did feel that I was taking the biggest risk, because especially if you're working off of a commission, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, no, you're right, Josh, because, and one of the things I tried to pay attention to when I was in sales, when I was a full-time salesperson, was that I could work as hard as I could work and get a customer to do business with us. But there were other people, as you said, who had to touch that transaction that had the opportunity to, you know, to screw it up. Or even if that transaction happened, if they didn't do their job well, maybe I couldn't get the customer to come back and do business with us again. So you're right. Everybody has to pull in the harness together, don't they?
Absolutely. And I think with the salesperson, the way, you know, normally when I hear about customer service problems or customer satisfaction or unfulfilled expectations, you know, normally if you really start digging into that, Jim, you realize that goes back to the salesperson. It's how did they define the expectations or help the customer define their expectations? And once you define it, you know, how do they communicate that to their organization? Most of the time, like anything else, it's miscommunications. Well, I thought you were going to do that. Well, I thought you wanted that. You know, that sort of discussions that you have after you disappoint a customer.
How do you get a customer to define their expectations for you?
Jim, the thing that, again, is sort of the hallmark of the approach that I like using is that the only way I can, from my experience, really get what I call no moving targets. You know, it's a constant theme that we always, I like my people to, and myself, when we're dealing with a customer, we say, listen, no one can hit a moving target. And so to define it, we always try to get it back to a firm date when they want something, but just even more important, what do they think what you're going to do is going to save them? And how will they, and you know, what goal is it going to help them achieve? And how will they know whether they achieve those goal?
Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we're selling that we think that just having possession of what we're selling is what the customer dreams about. And the truth is, it's what we're selling them does for them in their in the application that they're using it for, and the results of that application. It's not what we're selling them, it's what they're going to get out of applying what we're selling. And sometimes we don't go that far, do we?
No, and you know, that's a good point, Jim, is that, you know, one of the keys is to build your solutions from the customer's goals down, not from your products up. You know, I always like to say, customers don't have features, they have benefits.
Right, right.
You know, products have features.
And their benefits are not our benefits.
No, no, not at all.
That's a hard one to learn for some people, too.
Absolutely, and sometimes, you know, I think the key is when we say win-win, you know, and that becomes such an overused term, is that when a win-win situation is when the customer first and foremost achieves their goals and benefits, but we achieve ours.
Right. Now, one of the things that I know that you talk about in your book, Josh, and that I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about today, is how to build a sense of urgency. How to create a sense of urgency in our customers, and part of that, one important component of being able to build that sense of urgency is doing what you said a minute ago, and that is finding out what motivates them.
Absolutely, you know, these days, especially with good customers, is how do you create a sense of urgency in a good customer where you know more than likely they're going to buy from you. But when becomes a critical issue, because typically the largest competitor that, you know, we've been running into these days, and I see it with other organizations, Jim, your largest competitor isn't usually another company. It's typically status quo or the cost of doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, and most customers don't really, and we can look at that on the flip side of the break.
All right. Sounds good. He's done this before, folks. Josh Costell is our good friend, and he's the author of The Science of Sales Success. We're going to help you learn how, if you don't already know how, maybe brush up on what you already know, how to build a little urgency in this relationship you have with your customer. But it has to be for their benefit. 20 after. Stay with us.
The vein of night, the cuts of path of searing light, burning like a beacon on the edges of our sight, at the board of total darkness, and the light's divine.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Josh Costell is our guest, our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the author of The Science of Sales Success. And Josh, tell us where your book's available, and give us your website, too, please.
Okay, thanks, Jim. The book, the best place to get it is on Amazon.com. You also can find it in some of the larger bookstores, but Amazon.com is the best.
What about Books A Million or Barnes & Noble or those guys?
Yeah, they work great.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss.
Well, we'd like to spread the business around a little bit, Josh.
Okay, yeah, Barnes & Noble, Borders, off. You know, you can order through them. I still find the best way to do it is through the Internet.
Yeah, okay. And, of course, the book's been out a little while, but it's still a very appropriate book for any organization that wants to improve their sales professionalism. And we're talking about how to build a little bit a sense of urgency. This takes a pro's touch, doesn't it, Josh? I mean, if you're not a pro and you are listening to what Josh is saying and you try to build a sense of urgency in the customer, it's going to come across sounding like, I really need to get this in before the end of the month to make my quota. That's how it's going to sound. You really need to be a pro to do this, don't you, Josh?
You have to make sure, you're right, Jim, you have to make sure that it doesn't come across self-serving. It has to be a valid business reason for the customer. And the best way that, you know, some of the valid business reasons that I find is if you're selling something that, number one, can impact them from a code standpoint, you know, where they might be, you know, not up to par in certain codes, depending on what type of products you sell. But the more common one that I find to create a sense of urgency is, can you get to a dollar benefit of them using your solution, which you should do normally to cost justify it. But if you do, in other words, if you're selling something, you can show them that it can save them, you know, $100,000 a year. Then one of the things that creates a sense of urgency is that you can point to them that, you know, delaying it can cost them $8,000 a month.
You know,
every month that they wait to make their decision, it's a lost opportunity of, you know, 83-33, if you wanted to be exact.
And the only way to get to that level of discussion is to have qualified the customer to know as much about the decision-making process that they've got to that they're going through as they do. And a lot of people might be hearing what you're saying, Josh, and saying, well, wow, you know, boy, that I'd love for that to fall in my lap. Well, that doesn't fall in your lap. That's the kind of information. It doesn't matter whether it's $100,000 or $1,000 or $50. The point is that if you're just selling them a pair of shoes, Josh, as you know, if you've talked to them, if you've qualified them enough, you've probed them enough that you find out what's behind their decision, what's going on in their company or in their life that makes them even want to talk to you right now. I remember lots of times where I actually knew as much about the decision process as the customer did, to the point where I was able to point out opportunities but to make a decision now that they hadn't even noticed. I was actually able to contribute.
And that's how you really become what I call a customer expert and not a product expert,
right?
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple of really key points about that, Jim. When number one is, like you said, it could backfire if you're not careful. Whatever financial benefits you're showing someone, it has to be their number, not your number. Meaning they had to help you develop that number. Otherwise, you know, if you tell someone, hey, I can save you $100,000 a year, they're going to say, well, where did you get that number from?
Right,
and, you,
exactly.
And you'll, you know, start pointing out to different things. And the minute they don't agree with one of those parameters that you use to come up with your number, either how much you're using of a current product that you might be replacing, or, you know, how many warranty, what their warranty costs are that you could eliminate for them with your product. You know, if they don't have buy-in and it's not their numbers, you're really at a dangerous point in the sale because
and
of the credibility.
Just shouldn't we also point out that some transactions just can't be accelerated? I mean, we don't need to go into this thinking that they can all be accelerated. I just have to find the thing that some things. If to try too hard, you know, at a point beyond which you shouldn't go, you actually wind up doing damage and not helping.
Yeah, and that does happen often because I think we when we're in sales, we normally think about traditional competitors besides status quo. And what we don't realize is that while you may be wanting to sell them a phone system, there might be someone else that's trying to sell them a new roof.
Right.
Or a new accounting system.
Right.
And if they do a better job showing where the dollar benefits are from or how that helps them achieve the customer's goals better than what you're doing, you may say, oh, gosh, my project got delayed or my sale got delayed until next year, where the customer says, you know, typically they go, well, I just don't have the money in it for this year's budget.
Mm-hmm.
what they're really telling you is that they had money, but they used it elsewhere.
Right. What,
on someone else's solution.
They were telling you
have anything to do with your industry.
They were telling you that they had a plan, but you weren't part of it. Hey,
right.
Josh, give us your website again, please.
MeasureMax, www.MeasureMax, MeasureMax.com.
Thanks, Josh, for being here. We'll see you next time. Happy New Year, by the way.
You bet. Happy New Year, and thanks
Josh
again,
Josh Costell, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with David Gage. We're going to talk about partnerships after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.